This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is November 29th, 2017. Wow. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show, please call or text us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk at the numeral one at gmail.com, or you can also visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you would like to contribute to the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. Okay, moving to the Ron's Rant of the Week. We're going to start the show out with this, and this is interesting. This was inspired by a spin class that I taught this morning. I teach a very early in the morning, 5:45 a.m. spin class here in Mansfield at our local community center, and somehow we got on the subject of dogs, and I'm not sure exactly how we got there, but it certainly turned into a fun discussion because we were telling stories of dogs and bicycles. And so I thought that this might make a nice little subject matter here. And if you would like to comment on any of this too, you can always go on to my Facebook page because there is a question out there about your favorite dog story. Anyone who rides a bicycle has a dog story. I can almost guarantee it. So my rant of the week, dog owners that don't control their dogs. You know who you are. Maybe you don't know who you are, but I know who you are, and I know that it is a problem. You need to, if your dog is at a point where it likes to chase bicycles or cause a problem with traffic in general, or even pedestrians, then, you know, you should do something about that. There are a number of ways of controlling your dog. There are some positive ways of dealing with that, which we'll get to in a moment, but dog owners that don't control their dogs, I'm having a little trouble with that. So we do run into this occasionally out on the road when we're riding our bicycles. It is a lot less than it used to be, I will give you that, but I still don't have a lot of patience for dog owners that don't control their dogs. Again, additional discussion is on the Facebook page of Bicycle Talk, so please check that out, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. I'd love to hear your story. On a positive side, well, since we're on the subject of dogs, we're going to go to responsible dog owners. So responsible dog owners, they're the ones that actually teach their dogs not to chase bicycles or pedestrians or anybody else who's walking by their properties. So that's very good. And a big tip of the cycling cap, to the amazing invention called invisible fence. I know some dog people are not into invisible fences because they feel it's somewhat inhumane to their dog. I'm not going to get into that discussion. If you want to talk about it again, you can talk to me about it on Facebook. But anyway, invisible fence, I think, is why we have less trouble with dogs chasing us than we used to. And it has made a really, really big change in the problems with dogs. I will say that I am one of those victims, cycling victims, of being taken down by a dog while out riding my bike. And it was a reasonably bad crash because of it. The dog came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden it was in my front wheel, and down I went. And the dog was knocked out, and I was not, but I was pretty beat up from it. So, it can cause an accident, and somebody can get really hurt. Fortunately, the owners of the dog were very responsible, and by the time the ambulance, they had to call an ambulance for me, got me to the hospital, the dog owner had already taken care of any billing problems there might be or medical problems that I might have, which was very nice of them. It was a good thing. But another story for another day. On the positive side, we have responsible dog owners. Yay to you. Really appreciate that. And so I thought that because I was on this whole dog subject here, I was going to use all of my little weekly moments here for dog issues. And the maintenance minute, which is usually, the maintenance minute is usually a thing about, you know, different maintenance things you can do and tips you can do for your bike and taking care of your bike. I wanted to put it in a different way because I had this asked in class this morning. So what do you do in case of a dog attack? That's a pretty good question. And it is something that can be very easily taken care of if you have the wherewithal to think about these things while you're being chased down by a dog, which is more interested in your leg than they are in anything else. So what do you do in the case of a dog attack? So that was brought to me by my friend Mark, because Mark also had a story that went along with it, which I will share with you, which I thought was very funny. And my first thing that I do, and this is something that I have learned because I've been a dog owner for a long time. I've owned a number of dogs, and I found that the best thing that you can do is use a stern command, a loud stern command. And I'm talking about something really, really simple like no or stop or stay. Commands that an owner of an animal of that nature would probably use in the training of that animal. So you want to try that first because that's usually a good answer. And I know Fran has been with me out there on the road and she's seen me do this and it definitely works well. And so I use that at first. Now, that works 80 to 90% of the time, stern command. When that doesn't work, and sometimes it does not work, the dog has it in its brain that it is coming after you. You are the target, and it is going to hit the target. Then you have to move on to other avenues of protection. Years ago, we used to carry pumps on our bicycles, which were the size of a tube of the bike. They were long, and they were pretty big. And so people would take their pump out, and they would try to hit the dog with the pump to get the dog to get away from them while they're riding their bike. I'm just going to put it right out there. Bad idea. Very, very bad idea. Why is it a bad idea? Because the dog now sees that you have a stick. And what does the dog like to do when you throw the stick? It likes to go after the stick. So it's going to come at the pump, not go away from the pump. And, you know, it's just a bad idea. You don't want to go there. Don't want to go there with that. Now we all use little mini pumps and CO2 cartridges and all sorts of crazy things to pump our tires up so we don't have that gigantic weapon that we might have had before. But I find that's just something you want to stay away from. My favorite of all is my water bottle. Boy, do I love to use my water bottle. The water bottle is, if you've ever been a dog owner and you have, I relayed this story in class this morning when I was teaching the class. We were talking all about this. It was kind of fun. And anyway, if you've ever had a dog and your dog gets out and gets into the woods or you're out for a walk with a dog and it's off leash and it runs around and all of a sudden it finds something in the woods that it was alive many, many years ago or maybe even a few weeks ago, but no longer is. And the dog just finds it a thrill and a half to go roll in it. And when they do, they get this kind of gunky, decayed matter on them, and they smell pretty bad. And so you get back to your house, and because the dog now is not allowed to get inside the house, not smelling like that or rubbing any of that on any of your furniture or anything else, so you go over to the garden hose, and you bring out a bucket of, you know, warm, soapy water or whatever you need to wash your dog down with. And you spray the dog with the hose. Guess what the dog really, really hates more than anything else? They hate to get sprayed with that hose. They really don't like water spraying at them. So, hence, the water bottle comes in as a very, very nice tool. So, if you've ever done that before, if you have ever cleaned your dog and used a hose in which to do it, you know what I'm talking about. So the water bottle, you simply just take it out of your holder, reach down, give it a quick shot right to the face of the dog, and the dog will hit the brakes like you would not believe. It generally works really, really well. So I would definitely go.
What if there's something besides water in the water bottle?
Then the dog is going to be in for a sticky treat, I guess, because he's going to have electrolyte now, and maybe that'll be good for the dog. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, you have to be careful if you've got nutrition in your bottle, if it's going to be something that's bad for the dog.
Yeah, I don't know what might be bad for the dog. I know some other things that are very bad for the dog.
Xylitol. If you have a low-calorie...
Oh,
yes,
interesting.
If you have a low-calorie fitness drink, it could have xylitol in it. So if you you don't want to spray xylitol on a dog.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, it could kill him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then maybe you should always keep a clear bottle of water on your bike.
Right.
As an option.
I usually
have a clear bottle of water on my bike all the time. But I usually have one with if I'm on a long ride, I'll have one with something added to the bottle, and then I'll have another one that's just clean water, and that's it. So, yes, I guess you want to pull the correct bottle and squirt them in the face. It does work really well. What you don't want to do, and I relayed this story this morning too, is there is a product out there that is, it's dog spray. Basically is what it is. And what dog spray is it's red pepper with a propellant. And people will sometimes carry that with them because they're deathly afraid of dogs and deathly afraid of a dog attack while riding their bike. And they will spray the dog in the face with that. It's really not good for the dog at all. It really irritates them. And I know it's you or the dog at this point, and you're feeling like it's, you know, on the edge of life or death for you. But just use water. Just use plain water. It has a very similar effect, and the dog will generally back off in this case. I also have an incident, which I can tell you about, that happened many, many, many years ago. It was out here in northeastern Connecticut, where we are a lot more rural than you can be in other parts of the state of Connecticut. And so there's a lot of dogs out here. And so you have to be aware of the fact that you might have to do some dog protection as you're out riding your bike. And there was a group of six riders, and they were out for a training ride, and they were well-accomplished riders. Well, one of them had a canister of this, I think they called it Halt dog spray. And he had it with him because he just hated dogs. He just really was fearful of dogs. And a dog came out and chased them. And there were, you know, six guys, and they were in a line, and they were going down the road. And he was concerned that, you know, the dog would take one of them down, which would maybe take down two or three others of them. So he took his Halt dog spray out, and he sprayed the dog. The dog went yipping away, very upset because it had just been hit with pepper spray in its face, and went running back into its yard. Well, the owner of the dog was in the yard, and the owner of the dog saw the whole incident and then proceeded to get into his car and drive down the road and chase them down, creating a road rage incident. And that road rage incident turned into him coming around them, slamming his brakes on the car, blocking the road by going straight across the road and getting out, and he had a firearm in his hand. And he stopped them all and said, "What did you shoot my dog with? Who's got that?" And he started demanding to see what they had done to his dog, and my friend George ended up handing him over the Halt dog spray, and the guy put it in his car, and he drove off very angry and said, "Don't ever come here again," and drove off angrily. They did call the police on him later on, and I believe words were had, but that is a major downside of using a dog spray, and not to mention what it does to the dog. So I don't recommend that. I definitely don't recommend that. The water bottle, boy, it just works great. And this is another one that I am famous for, and anyone who's ever ridden with me has heard this one, and Fran uses this often too, which is always a lot of fun. And that is, if you have someone who has a dog and it's out chasing you in the road, I always yell out as loud as I can, "You better get your dog out of the road. I wouldn't want to get it hit by a car." And
or you speak directly to the dog, "You're going to get hit by a car."
Or you speak directly to the dog and say, "You're going to get hit by a car." And within seconds, you hear, you know, "Here, Fluffy, come back, Fluffy," or whatever, or Max, or whatever you want to call the dog. But anyway, you often hear the panicked call from the owner, now realizing that it's not so much fun to see their dog chasing the cyclists down the road when they realize that the dog might get hit by a car. And I will say, I was on a bike ride one day. It was very, very sad, very sad. We were riding our bikes up Route 198 in Chaplin, major state road, relatively fast. And we were riding up, and a dog cut across the road to come after us. And there was a vehicle coming the other way, and the dog was history. So, you know, it is true. You don't want your dog to chase bicycles, because if they chase bicycles, they're also going to be out playing with automobiles, cars and trucks. So anyway, that's the maintenance minute, what to do when you're being chased by a dog. Those are some of the things I have for you to think about, and hopefully you won't have this problem in the future. And remember, dog bites, if you do get a dog bite and it gets reported, the dog can only be reported, I don't know if it's once or twice before they're going to take your dog away from you, and you're never going to see the dog again. So, you know, take care of it. Take care of you as a responsible owner need to make sure you take care of your dog, and you as a responsible cyclist need to try to keep that moment from happening, because you really don't want to get bit for various reasons. Even if it's just because you love dogs and you hate to see the owner of that dog lose their dog over it. So I have I have a few things here that I would like to go over. And one of them is something that I read a number of weeks ago, and I keep putting this off. And this is a Fran input one, because I think she'll be able to chime in here a little bit on this particular subject. But it is 13 great reasons to date a cyclist. So, and there's follow-up on this too. So anyway, dating a fellow cyclist isn't just great, but you have someone to ride with, or at least someone who understands that weekends should be reserved for high mileage rides, races, or serious recovery. There are quite a few other awesome but less obvious perks, and here are some of our favorites. This, by the way, comes from Bicycling Magazine, and it's from Molly Herford, who writes for Bicycling. And this is an older article. Well, no, actually it's not. It was November 13th this month. So here's a nice one. Going straight to dinner without showering. Two flats, a missed turn, and suddenly it's past dinner time, and you finally roll back to your house on Saturday after a long ride together, and the couple that sweats together stays together. And likely neither of you will be offended if you throw on some sweats and head to the nearest pizza place to carbo load, or versus taking a shower, blow dry, or fancy change into fancy dinnerware. So there's one thing that's a bonus. You both stink. Now, it's not so good about, you know, going out into public, but you can clean up a little bit. Showing up late. See the aforementioned two flats and a missed turn entry. Showing up late happens to be the best of us, no matter how long we've been riding. That two-hour planned ride can easily turn into three. You know about that one. And the best part of dating a fellow cyclist is that he or she will likely understand when you come back 2 hours later than you initially promised to be home. The next one is understanding the fatigue. Not tonight, I have a big ride tomorrow. There's one, is a 100% valid excuse to just cuddle, but for a non-cyclist, it can come off as a pretty lame excuse. And so if you're dating another rider, he or she will have an equally important rider race coming up, then they will also welcome that extra sleep. But anyway, that can only work if you are dating another cyclist, and you are a cyclist. Sharing wheels and soft goods. You may not share a bike, shoe, or clothing size, but you can always share wheels. Yeah, you can share goods that you put on your bicycle.
We share clothes.
Nice. We share clothes.
Yeah,
we do that.
Sometimes I have more stuff now, but when I didn't have as much stuff, if I was running short on a base layer or something, I'd grab yours.
Yeah, or you lose your mini pump and you need another one, right. So you share stuff like that. Yeah. So another part of 13 best reasons for dating a cyclist, gross stuff is par for the course. You know you found a keeper when you can help pop each other's saddle sores.
Ew, not going there.
Nope, not going there.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I do love you dearly, Fran, but no, I'm not going there.
Well,
going
if you had something you couldn't reach,
I
wanted me to put
but
stuff
you're a
on
doctor,
it.
But, you know,
I don't
so
care.
You don't care.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, you know, if you, you want, know what? I would do it anyway. You're right. I would do this.
Yeah, if you wanted me to treat your gross stuff, I would treat it.
Yeah, and popping saddle sores, that's another subject.
I don't believe in popping.
I don't believe you should do that.
I wouldn't do it because you shouldn't pop stuff.
Right.
Popping is not good for you. I mean, it winds up, you can get more infection, you can get scarring.
Right, exactly.
You create more inflammation.
Exactly.
There's other ways
and
to do that.
And then that scarring will add to additional sores because of the scarring. And yeah.
Scar tissue isn't real tissue. It's fibrous tissue, and it doesn't have an immune system the same way that normal skin does. So
okay.
You want to avoid scarring.
So we're here. Let's talk about it. So what do you do when you have a saddle sore? What is your preferred method of dealing with that?
Well, it depends on, when you say saddle sore, it depends what you're actually dealing with. A saddle sore, to me, the word saddle sore is not a medical term. It's a sore place on your body from riding your bike. So,
I'm talking about something that is inflamed and possibly infected.
Okay, so you have a few things that it could be. You could have a boil.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a carbuncle. You could have just chafing. You could have just skin that's raw.
Mm.
So it depends on what you're dealing with. So if you have something that's rubbed and that's come to a head and has has pus
exactly.
in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. So what you're going to do there, one of the things you're going to do is you're going to put witch hazel on it. So witch hazel is great because it's astringent and it's
mm-hmm.
antimicrobial.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do want it to come to a head and break, it's better not to break it, but that's where warm compresses come in. So you put warm compresses on it, and that might make it actually come to a head and be likely to open up in a safer way than if you actually cut it or poked
and
it.
And actually really trying to break that skin.
Yes. And so once it's broken, then you want to do more witch hazel. And then I really like calendula cream. If there's a calendula cream that has other stuff in it, calendula, beeswax, olive oil, vitamin E, berberines, lavender. It's nice if it has all those things in it. And aloe, that's another thing. Straight, plain aloe is something you can put on a saddle sore because
mm-hmm.
it's very soothing. But I like the calendula cream. Calendula cream, if it did break, it helps to prevent the scarring. But calendula cream and vitamin E can prevent the scarring. And they're all antimicrobial. So you want to provide nourishing herbs that are going to help the skin to heal more readily, as well as things that are antimicrobial.
So another part of gross stuff. Thank you very much for that information, by the
no.
way. Another part of the gross stuff is, as a cycling partner, you'll understand pain when you come home with chafing, backaches, or because crashes happen, the occasional patch of road rash.
Yes.
He or she will be more likely to help you fix you up than faint at the sight of blood. So that's another good thing.
But I'm a physician, so it's like whatever.
Right. But you also ride a bike, so you also get it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
That's the beauty. You know, Fran and I have a very nice relationship because we both appreciate riding bicycles and it's an important part of our lives. So it works out nicely for us. But two-person Tour de France viewing parties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know that one. You know that one.
Yeah.
We watch the Tour de France. We watch the Tour of Italy. We watch the Tour of Spain. We and anything else that the local American television will be kind enough to throw at us.
Yes.
And we will watch that together because that's kind of a nice thing. So that's a nice thing to have with someone who rides a bike with you.
Yeah.
Apartment-dwelling couples can tolerate a lot.
Well, even people with not so big houses, not so big houses, can tolerate a lot.
Need to install an ugly but functional bike rack in your tiny spare room of your apartment?
Absolutely.
Your non-cycling partner might get upset, but a fellow cyclist will help you brainstorm for even more ways to fit more bikes in tiny spaces.
And how many bicycles should you own? N+1.
N+1.
And if you're two cycling partners, you're going to say, I need to get a new cross bike. And I'm going to be like, okay, what are you looking at? And I'll say to you, I need a different road bike. And you'll be like, okay, well, so what are we going to do with the old one? We'll switch it out. And you're not going to give me a hard time for wanting another bike.
Right, right.
Right.
Right. And that is the next thing on the list here is N+1 makes sense. So how many bikes do you need? N+1, of course, and being the number of bikes that you currently possess. The only problem with dating another cyclist who understands this is that by the – at any time you buy a new bike, he or she will immediately need one as well.
That's not true.
It can get expensive. Yeah, it's not entirely true.
I'm not like competitive like that. I'm like, if it's not time for me to get a new bike and it is for you, I don't care. I'm not going to. We don't do that with cars either. If you have to get a car, I'm not like, oh, well, I should have one. I'm not like that.
So
no, I'm much more pragmatic.
So are you familiar with that leg warming stuff that you put on your legs to keep, you know, like in a cooler day or embrocation. On a damp day?
Embrocation. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So not being mad when embrocation ends up in places.
Oh.
Oh, that can be really sensitive. Yeah. You want to be really careful about where that stuff gets to.
Yeah.
And as I have always told people, if you are going to use that, make sure you have something to wipe your hands down really well with afterwards. Like an alcohol wipe type thing is really good. Just clean it off because
right.
you touch your eye with it or anything
yeah.
like that. It can be a problem. So anyway, so you're not both when you take two cyclists who are sporting embrocation, it's a recipe for disaster unless you're really hoping to spice things up. So I'm not going to go there. I'm just not going to go there. We can visit that later on in the show, actually.
Well, because embrocation often has wintergreen in it, so it has menthol.
Oh,
in
yeah, it.
It
does, or peppermint or something. Yeah,
right. And yeah. and any of the and menthol just doesn't feel good on mucous membranes.
No,
it's just unless unless you're into that sort of thing. And some people are,
and some people are, and there are special things that you can use for that.
Right,
but. We're talking about cycling here, so right, we're going to stick with that.
Right, and the having menthol has that menthol and camphor have that property of feeling hot and cold at the same time, and that can feel good on your legs if you want to warm them up. But not everybody likes that feel. Like I was never a Bengay girl.
I just don't like it. I really like it.
Especially
like we used to make our own. We used to do a combination of witch hazel and oil of wintergreen or
right.
peppermint oil
yes.
and baby oil. And we would mix it all together and then that's what we would put on our,
right.
you know, if you're getting ready to race and it's on that edgy, it's a little too, you know, it's not cold enough to put leg warmers on or knee warmers on. But, you know, and you really want the flexibility of not having to wear anything like that. But you also want to not, you know, freeze to death and you want to keep your knees warm. We would just, you know, lather up with that stuff. And then the water would just bounce off. You
right.
know, it was nice. It was
yeah.
kind of like having a little shield on.
Because you have the
baby oil, you keep your
yeah.
knees warm and that was good. But and I know now there's products out there for those people who don't know how to make their own.
Yeah.
I got the recipe from an old English guy. Who had given me a recipe about what they had used over in Europe when they were racing. So anyway, tracking each other isn't creepy.
Oh.
So, you know, out there, you know, there are some people that don't like to be tracked. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who has recently been helping me over at the Friends of Mansfield Hollow with removing trees from basic trails and such, because he's an avid mountain cyclist. And he had an incident where he was out on his mountain bike and he flipped over the bars and he fell down enough to hit his head hard enough to knock himself out. So he was out for a few minutes and then woke up and was a little, you know, shaken from it and all. And now he has tracking software on his cell phone so that if he, this is a funny thing too, because his friend now can watch and see that he's active. And when he's not active anymore, it alerts him that he's come to a stop. And if he's at a stop for too long, then they go out and look for him because the phone has a GPS device on it. So you can, you know, track somebody down. So stalking isn't creepy. So, or tracking isn't creepy. So that's another thing. The food budget. Now, this is a big one. The food budget is understandable. You don't mind the massive grocery bill that the two of you rack up, and neither of you complains about the fact that you're running through 3 dozen eggs every week. You're hungry cyclists burning through thousands of calories. Whey protein powder and pricey in-ride snacks like gels and bars are also understandable parts of the budget. And, Fran, you want to add on to that?
Yeah, we have a good food budget because we eat really well. I mean, it's not just because we're cyclists. Although, in terms of the gels and bars and stuff, we don't spend a lot of money on that.
Not really. No.
We don't. We get some. I don't seem to go through those very quickly.
I like eating real food. I'm more of a, you know, kind of a banana guy. You know, I like to put banana in my back pocket. That's a nice source of food, and it works well for me. And then also, you know, just fruits and things like that.
We do have some bars.
We do.
Yeah. And so, but we tend to eat well. So we have like organic produce, and we have, you know, a lot of produce, and we have good quality animal protein. So good quality fish and poultry and meat and so, in that sense, we don't get junky stuff.
A friend and I are, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, food snobs.
We're a little bit of food.
We like our food. Yeah. We like our food, and we like good food.
But we don't go through 3 dozen eggs, because I'm a sort of, an intermittent faster. So I often don't eat breakfast.
I'm an egg person. I like my eggs.
You have your eggs in the morning.
I like my eggs in the morning. So I go through eggs. I go through them fairly regularly.
Yeah.
And that's nice. But I also have sources and supplies. Thank you, Andrea. That trades me eggs for coffee on Friday morning. So that's always nice, too. So I have a supplier. We trade off nice food with one another. She has lots of chickens, and that's kind of nice. You can share razors, but you probably shouldn't.
No.
That's really not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
It's
barely a good idea to share a razor with yourself. Meaning that, unfortunately, if you have a disposable razor, they're made to be disposed. I mean, it's wasteful, but if you're going to reuse a razor, first of all, disposable razors are not meant to have a lot of longevity. But if you're going to reuse it, at the very least, you should take some alcohol or witch hazel to it before reusing it. Because you have to remember, every time you shave, you're running your blade across your skin. You're scraping your skin, and you're irritating yourself.
Right.
You're causing tiny little micro abrasions that you can't see. And that's why men use aftershave, because there's usually witch hazel. There's an astringent in it that closes your pores up. But you have scraped your skin, and that, so you know when you cut yourself shaving, right? Well, guess what? You're getting little tiny cuts that you can't see, and once you get those, your body has to repair those. And once there's inflammation, bacteria get involved. So, and there's bacteria on your skin at all times. So when you run a razor across it, there's bacteria on the razor. So if you then go, and when you've scraped it, not only are you scraping up bacteria on that razor, you're scraping up skin cells. So it can multiply on the razor, because there's skin cells for the bacteria to eat. So if you then go reuse it without washing it, you've got more bacteria and skin cells that you're now running across your skin a second time. So at the very least, if you're going to reuse your razor, take some alcohol to it and clean it off, or witch hazel. And if you have a disposable razor, don't use it too many times.
Yeah. Yeah, I rinse mine off. Why I shave in the shower. I just shave in the shower.
And then sharing it.
Yeah, sharing it's not a good idea. I don't like that idea.
If you're doing a shower and you're reusing your razor, you should still be alcoholing or witch hazeling.
Yeah, I'm not big on that one. And then last on the list here, the other downside, and Fran, you're going to love this one.
All that laundry.
Yes.
Totally a thing.
Daily laundry is pretty much guaranteed when you're both riding, especially if you have a smaller washer and dryer or the weather is bad. Expect your water bill to go up and your detergent usage to increase significantly. But if that's the worst part of dating a fellow cyclist, that's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
And we have laundry day. We have laundry weekend, kind of, is what we have.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's Laundry Mountain is what Fran calls it.
I folded the laundry the other day. It took me over an hour to put everything away. And
I washed
so much laundry.
We're a community effort.
Mostly. Most weekends, it's not a community effort.
Yeah. Well, most weekdays, I cook.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting into that, you know, married couple thing.
Uh-huh. Yes. Why do you cook?
Well, I know, because you don't have time because you're working all the time. I understand. So anyway, it is really, really nice to have another cyclist as your partner, because it makes it a lot easier to deal with all of the issues that go along with it.
We're also at a time of year when the laundry, this is worse. This time of year for laundry, it's a lot worse.
Laundry issue wouldn't go away.
No, it's a lot worse right now because when you're riding in the cold weather, you just wear a lot of clothes that you might be washing. Three layers up top and two layers on bottom, and wool socks, and there's a lot more clothing.
And we were out on the rail line this past weekend. It was wet, and so there was mud kicking up, and so you know, your clothes get all muddy and splattered.
So your outer layers are going to
get
washed too.
So your outer layers are also going to get it too.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that transitional time of year when you tend to be, and you tend. This is the time of year when you have the most laundry because you're. You're washing your winter clothes. You have some spin stuff, but we're also riding our bikes outside and needing to use a lot of clothes, and it's not going away. It's just going to keep getting colder. So this is the heavy laundry. And then all of a sudden, when it gets really cold, then it completely drops off because now we're completely indoors.
Right, but still, I'm indoors. I'm teaching six classes a week
But then you're only producing a bib and a
shirt
and a jersey
instead of I know.
Tights, wool socks, a separate, you know, still your bibs, a base layer, a jersey, and a jacket or vest.
Just so you know, laundry day at our house is unbelievable. We have drying racks downstairs, and we have a whole procedure that we go through. Because another thing about laundry, since we're on the subject, is if you have cycling clothes, which are delicate, a lot of them have lycra in them, lots of stretching, you really shouldn't put them anywhere near your dryer.
Right.
So if you're dealing with wool socks, or you're dealing with cycle clothing, or any kind of specialty fabric that you're using, because most of the fabrics are specialty fabrics when you're riding your bike. It really needs to be hand-dried, so it has to be hung up.
And then there's an issue, because I remember when I was taking spin class. I was being trained for spinning, or I was taking a class with a spin trainer. Anyway, the trainer said that you should really throw your chamois in the dryer. The reason she said that was for sanitary reasons.
I guess it cooks any bacteria,
right? That's right. But I would say that again, you're gonna go through your shorts faster.
You're gonna cook the shorts faster, I think. But but you are also gonna cook the bacteria, which there's a point there.
But the other side of that is if you use a chamois cream that's antimicrobial, you're gonna have less problem with that.
Right.
And if you really want to, you could spray your chamois with tea tree oil, like before you when you pull them out of the washer, you could spray them with water with tea tree oil in it, and that'll help spray the chamois with that tea tree oil, and it'll be antimicrobial.
And then let them dry
that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an idea.
Yeah.
That's an idea. Okay. So I went to the UK, and I saw that Cycling Weekly had 11 reasons to date a cyclist.
When did you go to the UK?
No, online.
Oh.
I traveled on the internet.
You
yes,
surfed.
I did. We're lovely people as cyclists, so why wouldn't you want to date one?
Yeah.
Because we are lovely people. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the Cycling Weekly's take of this, 11 reasons to date a cyclist. We're great at home repairs. I can say that that's probably true. There's a lot of cyclists, if they are accomplished cyclists, they've been at it for a really long time, many of them are pretty handy because you kind of have to be when you're out on the on the road and you get a flat tire and you got to deal with it. And so you learn how to do basic repairs. So we're kind of handy at home. We have an excellent tool collection at hand. Oh, yes, absolutely. Lots of tools. Certainly have a lot of those. A lot of them are bicycle-related tools, but then there's other tools too. So that's another good thing. We are great conversationalists, okay? Unless you ride on your own, having a natter.
Natter.
Yes.
A chat.
A natter with your riding companions is one of the great joys of cycling. I agree. I totally agree. I love the communication part of cycling. I just think it's great. And I know some people don't, and that's why I'm on the radio and they're not. But I do like to talk. So it's a good thing. Much of it will be about bikes. There's no question about that. A lot of times people, especially me, because people are always asking me my opinion about this and my opinion about that, because they know I've been related and associated with the bicycle industry for so long. So duvet days can easily be incorporated into our training regime.
That's power lying about.
Yeah, that's what Fran calls it, power lying about. You know those days when you just don't want to get out of bed? You want to watch movies or catch up on the day's newspapers?
That's most days.
Well, cyclists need their rest. And the old adage goes, if you don't have to stand, sit. And if you don't have to sit, lie down.
Right.
So, and another thing, cyclists, we don't accept defeat. Cyclists are rarely comfortable with letting an obstacle get in our way. Why else would we go out of our way to ride up really steep hills, returning the following week if it gets us the better of us the first time? It's an admirable trait that we take into the rest of our lives as well. And then the next one here, it says, we can dress for all occasions, whether the occasion is a long ride in the rain or a two-wheeled poodle in the baking sunshine. I love the British. We've got everything in our wardrobe to suit any eventuality. We know the value of an early night.
Oh, yes.
Well, we know it. We don't always do it. Yeah. Personally, Fran and I are not real good with the early night.
Sometimes I wish
we were better with it.
Sometimes we do it in spite of ourselves.
So, you know, when your friend at the local bar suggests moving on to the nightclub, but that you really don't want to go to, all you have to do is look at your cyclist partner and say, I've got a training ride tomorrow, so I really can't have a late night. And
you want to go see the Tuesday night, what?
Yeah, I know. My shout out to the Tuesday Night Saints. I love you guys. But sometimes I don't make it because, you know.
Because of bed.
Because my cycling gets the best of me. You'll get plenty of me time. If you're not a cyclist, you have plenty of time to yourself to do whatever you're enjoying doing. Your partner will be out for long periods of time getting lost on country lanes and fixing punctures. Don't get too involved with your hobbies while they're out, though, as you may receive a call to pick them up when they run out of inner tubes. That's funny. That's very funny. We all have an impeccable sense of direction. And I think
that's not true.
Well, it's not true. It is with you and I. We're both pretty good. I would say we're both pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you have no excuse.
This is going to be one of those debatable things because, you know, men don't ask for directions and women get angry with it. I'm generalizing. But anyway, we do generally have a good sense of direction, though. We can never take the high road with online shopping.
Don't say prices.
Oh, dear. Yeah. No. You know, I would rather. Yeah. I think that supporting your local bicycle shop is a much better idea. I'm not even going to go there on this one. When our friends lead us astray, it often only means an extra slice of cake. Chances are, if your cyclist partner is out a bit longer than you expected on their ride with a friend, they've stopped for another coffee rather than a pop into the pub for a quick 6 pints. In either way, they've often tacked on an extra 5 kilometers to their route before heading home. So anyway, that's from Cycling Weekly. I thought that was kind of funny, but I thought we also needed to talk about the other end of this, and that is why you should never date a cyclist.
Aww.
This is from Canadian Cycling Magazine.
Oh, what's wrong with them?
Oh, you know, they've been there, they've done that, they got it. So I thought this would add some humor into this discussion because it you know, there were some things here that I just started laughing at. And number one on the list, we will always be tired after a ride. Hope you didn't want to go for a long romantic walk. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. You want to go for a long romantic walk after I ride my bike? I will go for a walk with you.
You will?
There are those of us who are, yeah.
Yeah.
I would do that.
After your long romantic nap.
Yeah, well, I would have to have that too. And that's where the snuggle comes in. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So the romance continues.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
You don't want to go for a long romantic walk after a hard ride.
Well, you don't either.
That's ridiculous.
You don't either. So there. Our homes are filled with bikes.
Yeah.
This is another reason why you don't want to date us.
If
you're not into that. Huh. Well, this is, okay, this is from the perspective. Let's think about this.
If you have a partner that loves you, they should get over it.
Well said, but not always, not always well heard.
I don't want to be in that relationship.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That is why we are in a relationship.
I will never be in that relationship.
And I know you
will. Even if, God forbid, the worst happens, I will not be in that relationship.
I know.
Once a guy I was in a relationship with said something to me about, I was lifting weights at the time and I was getting bigger. He actually said to me, "You don't need to get any bigger." And I ripped him a new one. And this was before anybody said ripped him a new one. This was back in the 80s.
I thought maybe you just picked him up and threw him around a little bit.
No. No, I didn't do that.
You might understand that better.
No. But he said that, and I'm like, you do not tell me how to be with my body. And I said, you don't even have a paradigm of being able to say that.
And I can tell you, after being with Fran for a long time now, 13, almost 14 years. Is that where we're at?
I don't know.
It's right up there.
Something like that.
It's
almost 13 years.
It is exactly what she said.
Yeah.
And the answer is always yes, dear. So so our homes are filled with bikes. And
yeah.
N plus one is the golden rule.
Right.
N is the number of bikes you own. And then, you know, you can.
So as Violet says on It's a Wonderful Life, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
When Mary asked her, "You like every boy."
Yeah, exactly. So, number three, we are in the habit of riding for longer than we tell you. You know, it happens. Yeah, it happens. You know, there could be anything that happens. You know, you could have had that dog incident. You could have had a flat tire. You know, you could have said, "You know, I'm feeling really good today. I think I'm going to go an extra 10 miles. I mean, it happens. It does happen. So anyway, yeah, we don't ever expect us to be back exactly when we tell you. And I know that is a big time relationship stressor. Okay. Number four, the tan lines and the shaved legs.
Well, you didn't talk about the foot tapper.
The foot tapper. We could talk about the foot tapper. We'll go back to number three here. We are in the habit of riding longer than we tell you. Go ahead. Talk to me about the foot tapper.
Yes.
What is that?
So when you're in a relationship with someone who is frustrated with you or doesn't understand, they are at home tapping their foot. We call that a foot tapper. And then Ron and I shake our heads and look at our companions who have those. And we go, his partner's a foot tapper or her partner's a foot tapper.
We're sorry.
Yeah.
We are sorry. We are definitely sorry.
We feel bad for you.
And we do feel bad for you.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that happens. So number four here is the tan lines and the shaved legs. The tan lines are etched in our skin, so don't complain when we wear shorts, swimwear, skirts, etc. If your significant other is male, he probably borrowed your razor to shave his legs. Hope you don't mind.
You don't do that because you
I
have
would
your
own... never do that.
No, because you have your own razors.
I am particular about that.
Yeah.
So therefore, that is the way it
and
is.
And I have different razors than you. I have like the girly ones with pink.
I don't.
And then I have those ones that you can put in the shower and they have aloe around them.
Yeah, no, I don't have any of that. Yeah. I just, you know, I just shave my legs in the shower. Yeah. It's easy. And yes, I still do it. And yes, I haven't raced bicycles for years, but it became a habit. And then it became like a thing you just do. You just do. It's, you know, it's cleanly. It works well. It's nice. Anyway, plus if you have the misfortune of falling off your bicycle, it's much easier to clean yourself up when you don't have hair on your legs.
I suppose.
So that's a good thing, too. Plus, I also had a few times when I was first getting in this whole crazy cycling thing where I had a few problems ignite on my legs, which had to be attended to. And it's just easier to keep your legs clean. And it works well. But I know there's people that just don't even think about it and don't want to know about it. But I don't care. So that's what I do. Night dates aren't a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unless your idea of a hot date consists of an early night, healthy food, and no alcohol. Yeah, we got to get up pretty early for the ride on Sunday. On weekday mornings, you may not even see us as we make a racket trying to sneak out the door at the crack of dawn.
Yeah. I'm the only, I think I'm the only woman in the world who, when he says, you want to go out and see that band, I start to cry.
Yeah, she's not good with that. I still like to do those other things too. So, you know, I fit it in. And maybe I'll be a little more tired in the morning, but, you know, I'll work it out. Number six, every so often you will get an emergency call asking you to drive out and pick us up.
Well, that happens.
It does happen.
I don't think I've ever had to pick you up. just hasn't worked out that way, but the opposite happens a lot.
Although if you look at my road ID, your number is on my road ID.
Yes.
So if I should have a problem and I'm out with someone else and you're not there, you're going to be the one to get the first phone call.
Yeah.
So that's
as
the way it works.
Be.
As it should be. Absolutely. Little shout out to road ID. That it's a cool invention. It's nice. And you should always carry an ID with you. You should, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It could be a card in the back of your seat pack. Whatever it is, you need to carry some sort of identification with you just in case. So gives me a shout-out moment there. Number 7, saddle sores are a thing, and they might be somewhat unappealing. We talked about this earlier, didn't we?
Yeah. People have bodies. Bodies do stuff.
Yeah, and it happens. And you know what? The downside is the saddle sore. The upside is you're living with this incredibly fit person who is in many ways very healthy and very vibrant and very energetic and really not so bad. Not so bad. And it says, number 8, don't like the taste of sweat. Too bad. You're going to taste our sweat. You know exactly what it tastes like.
Okay.
Another gross part about loving a cyclist.
All right.
We won't get into details there.
There are worse things.
There are worse things. There are totally worse things. And then this one, this is one of my favorites. I love this one because this, when I owned the bicycle shop, this was a classic. And you know who you are out there. We will drag you out for a ride even if you hate it, okay? Somehow we convince you and you hate it. We stay hopeful that one day you will join us for a weekend group ride and let me buy you that bike I've been eyeing for you.
And then there are people who buy that bike they've been eyeing and it sits.
And it eyes all the dust in the garage.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like if you don't do that. If you're a cyclist and you think that you're going to bring your significant other into this lovely world that you have and they had no intention of ever going there, ever, ever, don't go there. Don't do it. Do something with your significant other that they like and then, you know, just write it off. It's not worth it. It really isn't. I owned a bicycle shop for 15 years and I cannot tell you how many times I saw people come in and try to buy their significant other a nice new bicycle, which they were convinced once they got on a really good bike because all they had was that heavy Schwinn from college, they would just be...
I still have my heavy Schwinn from
college. And I curse at it every time I see it in the garage. Anyway, you're not going to do it. They've got to make this decision, not you. You can't go there. So... we will drag you out for a ride even if you hate it. That one I just found amusing. I definitely did. Number 10 on the list from Canadian Cycling Magazine is, if you want company in the morning, your best bet is a teddy bear or a dog. Count us out. Okay, this goes for certain friends of mine. I'll say, hi, Michael, who have to get out first thing in the morning, maybe hi, Dave, who have to get really out first thing in the morning and get out, just ride their bikes, and, you know, they're out riding before anyone wakes up. The upside is you might wake up with breakfast and coffee ready. Now, I'm going to relay a story. An old friend of mine, different George, but a friend George who was into marathon running and running a lot, and he was just a real high amper, and he felt like this guy was, like, crazed with miles. And he said if he couldn't find a marathon to run, he would run from Mansfield into Hartford just to get the miles in, and once a month. And so he was doing that once a month. So crazy, crazy guy. That's what he did. Anyway, it's going to happen. But he also used to go out for long runs in the morning, end up back at the house, and have breakfast ready, which is good. Number 11, bikes always come with us on vacation. That happens. And number 12, you're going to hear so much cycling talk that it will bore you out of your mind. There's a whole bunch of things here. We might have to actually take these on next week because we are running out of time. So I'm going to revisit the why you should never date a cyclist for next week, and I will finish this off. If you have any comments that you want to make, you can make them to us on the Facebook page, and I would love to hear more from you. So I'm going to wrap things up here with a couple of very short upcoming events here. The Connecticut Series of Cross, Elm City Cyclocross on December 17th in New Haven. That is coming up very soon. The Cross Nationals in Reno, Nevada. I am a cyclocross guy, by the way. That's January 9th through the 14th in 2018. So a couple of things that are coming up. There are some other things, too, which we will discuss next week. My name is Pedlin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. Remember, you can always send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you'd like to contribute to the show or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.